We do welcome you to our midweek Bible study and prayer meeting tonight, and we trust the Lord will bless our coming together in his name. Think of the words of that hymn tonight, 625 in your hymn book. If you have a hymn book there, you can look it up. You may not even need to look it up. You know it so well. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What peace we often forfeit. What needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. May the Lord bless the words of that hymn to our hearts. Let's bow together in an opening word of prayer. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we come to thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, for thy presence with us tonight as we meet together for our midweek Bible study. We pray, O God, that thou wilt open our hearts now to thy precious word, that we might receive the word of God, that we might be strengthened and built up in our most holy faith. We're conscious, Lord, of our need of the bread of God, that food for our souls. And we pray, Father, that our souls will be strengthened and we will be encouraged and helped through thy word even tonight. Lord, we pray that thou wilt draw near to us and bless us. Bless each brother and sister as they meet together in their own homes, that thou wilt encourage each individual, each family. Thou wilt meet every need, that thou wilt answer prayer in every situation. Thank you for prayers already answered. We come to give thee thanks for answers to prayer. And we pray for other matters that are upon our hearts. Lord, those who have sicknesses, those, O God, who have other challenges in their lives at this time, decisions to make, situations to face, uncertainties. O God, we ask of thee that thou wouldst take the hand of each one of thy children and lead them through the difficult and dark passages of life. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast promised to make the crooked places straight and the rough places smooth, that thou hast promised to be with us, that thy presence shall go with us and thou wilt give us rest. So, Lord, we pray for thy presence tonight, even as we meet later on for prayer, as we gather together in our homes, as we seek the face of God. We pray now that thou wilt bless us through the Scriptures, encourage our hearts as we study thy word together. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention again to the study that we've been in, that is the survey of the New Testament. And tonight we're in 1 Timothy. And we're reading together from 1 Timothy chapter 1 and the verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and the verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightst charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, and for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts. The study of 1 Timothy is that which we give attention to this evening. The Church of Christ must keep itself pure in doctrine and in practice so that it might support the truth of God and not weaken or obscure its testimony. In this brief letter, 1 Timothy, just six chapters, which Paul wrote to this young minister, Timothy, he sought to instruct him, and through him, the church to whom he ministered at Ephesus. You see, Paul was not surprised when he noted that the church at Ephesus was attracting the attention of certain heretics and deniers of the gospel. He had already warned the Ephesian elders to expect such an infiltration by the enemies of the gospel. Going back there to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, and verses 28 and 29. And Paul said this, on that occasion there to the elders at Ephesus, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." And you know that foreseen danger had now become a reality. In chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, in verse 7, he speaks here in writing to Timothy, "Those desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm." You see, there were those who infiltrated the church who were seeking to undo all that Paul had done in bringing the gospel of free grace to the Gentiles. And see Paul's desire for Timothy in verses 3 and 4 of this chapter we've read from this evening. "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to the Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith so do." He wanted Timothy to stay at Ephesus, to get that work there on a sure foundation, and thereby defeat the schemes of these Judaizers. Look at 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." There were those who would come in with false teaching and false doctrine. And looking at this epistle, it divides essentially into two parts. First of all, we have chapters 1 and 2, which where we see sound doctrine versus satanic delusions. Sound doctrine versus satanic delusions. And then chapters 3 to 6, sound instruction versus satanic intrusions. As we look at the book as a whole, there are three things that I want to focus upon in our study tonight. First of all, the deposit. The deposit. Chapter 6 and verse 20, it reads like this. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. The word that's used there, keep. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Means to guard. That which is committed to his trust. It's a single word which means deposit. Obviously, Timothy was to guard the deposit. And if he was to guard this deposit, he must know what it was. What is this deposit that Timothy was to guard? Well, in this epistle, Paul defines it very clearly. He uses certain very telling terms by which he defines the deposit. For example, six times he uses the word doctrine with the definite article, the doctrine, the doctrine. Nine times he speaks of the faith. Four times he speaks of the godliness, the doctrine, the faith, the godliness. And the way the apostle uses these terms indicates that in using them, he's using them technically or theologically as definitions of this deposit. See in chapter 1, verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. The glorious gospel. The glorious gospel. This is what Timothy was to guard. This is what Timothy was to watch over. And then in chapter 1, verse 15, very familiar verse, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What a message. This was something that was to be guarded by Timothy. Proclaimed by Timothy. Held dear by Timothy. And by all of us, even today. Chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 of 1 Timothy. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Christ the mediator. Christ who gave himself a ransom for all. In chapter 3, verse 16, what a text this is. Surely, it is the greatest, one of the greatest definitions of the gospel in the New Testament. Paul says to Timothy, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And what truths are contained in these words? Concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. And so there is this deposit, this truth of the gospel of Christ, the doctrine, the faith, the godliness. And Timothy was to keep it or to guard it. And so are we today. Against all falsehoods, against all error, against all who would come in to infiltrate the church and seek to destroy the gospel of Christ and distort its meaning. A deposit. But then I want you to see the defense. And this is the defending of the gospel, the defending of the deposit. See what he says in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy in verse 21. Chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, verse 21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. And then he adds in verse 20 of chapter 6, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. And in both of these texts, the verb that is used is the same. It means to guard. Or there may be attempts to steal it, to ruin it, to corrupt it. But it is to be guarded, is to be protected, is to be defended. There are those who unwisely would say, we do not need to defend the gospel. But that is not in keeping with what the Word of God teaches. And Paul said he was set for the defense of the gospel. He was set for the defense of the gospel. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, he says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before in thee, that thou might by them mightest war a good warfare. War a good warfare. Chapter 4, verse 1. Again, the emphasis you will see there in that verse. What should he do? Verse 19 of chapter 1. Holding faith and a good conscience, hold to the whole truth of the gospel of grace that presents a free salvation which we can receive only by faith. The most dangerous attacks on the gospel come from legalists. You'll notice that in chapter 1, verses 7 to 10. Those desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. You see, there were those who wanted to return to a system of rituals that had been fulfilled in Christ. My friend, legalism is not the way to holiness. It is the way to defeat. And there are many who would want us to be brought into that straitjacket of legalism. And Paul is warning Timothy against this. And those who would seek to introduce this and seek to draw the people away after this. But then there's the opposite extreme to legalism, which we use the term to describe it as antinomianism. This describes the denial of any obligation to the law. And people may say, I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. And I've heard people saying that. Saying, oh, I'm not under the law. I'm under the grace. I'm saved by grace. And legalism and antinomianism are unlawful uses of the law. The law is never to be presented as a way of salvation. The law is our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. It cannot replace or even modify the gospel of free grace. And that is something we must guard jealously, defend the gospel. And also, we must remember that we remain under God's moral law and have to adhere to the Ten Commandments and to those laws which are clearly defined in Scripture. And it is incumbent upon all of us to defend those laws and to stand by them and not say glibly, I'm not under law, I'm under grace. We are under God's moral law, though of course we are saved by grace. But then I want you to see the declaration. And that declaration is to teach the gospel. To teach the gospel. And teaching figures very largely in Paul's admonitions. Elders are to be apt to teach. That is, of course, teaching elders. Ministers, as we would say today. Those who are apt to teach. Look at chapter 4, verse 6 of the passage. It says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things and teach them, in other words, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. And so there are to be teachers in the church. And there are teachers in the church, teaching elders, ministers. See also chapter 4, verse 11. These things command and teach. Again, chapter 6, verse 2. They that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. You know, my friend, ignorance is fatal to the church's ministry. And today we are in an age where there is a famine of the word of the truth of the gospel. And as a result, Christians and churches have become weak. And what we need today is preachers who will teach the truth, whatever the cost. Take the word of God and teach it and feed the flock of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. We're not to rend the sheep, we're to feed the sheep. It's the business of the minister, the pastor, man called of God to minister in a congregation, be the teaching elder. And Paul gives a good example of what is needed in this epistle. He deals with the church and its government, the structure of the church. Eldership and deacons are dealt with. He deals with believers and their manner of life. And see his emphasis on a good or a pure conscience. Look at chapter 1, verse 5. He talks about charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. And again, verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience. And again, chapter 3, verse 9. He's talking here about the deacon in the church holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. And that's in contrast to chapter 4, verse 2, which speaks of a conscience seared with a hot iron. And 11 times he uses the word that is translated faithful. You see, if a man is to teach in the church, or if a man is to be a ruling elder in the church, a teaching elder, or a ruling elder, or a deacon in the church, he must be faithful. Office bearers must be faithful, conforming their own lives to the truth of the gospel. This is the standard for office bearers. There must be no dilution or deviation of this from this. Teaching the truth involves separating from heretics and hypocrites. In his two epistles to Timothy, there are no less than 14 calls to separation. Six of them in 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 3 to 7, chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, chapter 5, verse 22, chapter 6, verses 5, 11, 20. And you can look them out for yourself.
You see, the gospel calls us to separation because in everything the church of Christ must be the pillar and ground of the truth. There must be no digression from the truth, no dilution of the truth. And three times Paul says, this is a faithful saying. What does he mean? True, trustworthy. That's the word. Faithful saying. Let us be sure to be faithful in defining, in defending, and in declaring the truth. And God will be faithful to use it to bring men to life in Christ, to defeat the devices and delusions of the devil. And by doing this, we will bring glory to God. Look at chapter 1, verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And again, chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. Which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. And we will actually promote the glory of our God and King as we remain pure in doctrine and practice. Support the testimony of God's truth in this world. May God help us to follow the directives were given by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. To read this epistle, 1 Timothy, to follow the principles, the guidance that is given by Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is God's word for our hearts. It's God's word for our times, as much as it was for the time in which Timothy ministered to the church at Ephesus. The key verse in the epistle for me is 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now you may choose another verse which sums up 1 Timothy for you, but get a key verse. And that for me is a key verse. Again, chapter summaries may be of help. I thought about this book just looking at the chapters. Chapter 1, verse 15, we've mentioned there. For chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 5, for chapter 2, there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 16, again a verse we've already mentioned. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Chapter 4, verse 1, the Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And then, chapter 5, verse 1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, the younger men as brethren. Chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And verses like that can link you into a chapter. It doesn't have to be those verses. Maybe a sentence that summarizes for you that particular chapter, or a few words, or even one word that summarizes for you, but it helps you in your study of a particular chapter, a particular book. May the Lord give us in these days a love for His Word as never before, a desire to immerse our souls in the truths of the Word of God, that we might grow in the Word and through the Word and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless study of 1 Timothy to all our hearts. Let us engage in prayer, and we commend the work of the church to you and the needs of the church, every aspect. There are many aspects that have not been able to start up again. And we hope and pray that some of the works will get going again soon, but we have to leave that in God's hands, and we trust that you'll understand all of this and pray about it. The children's work, our work of our Sunday school, I'd like to see started again, and our children's meeting, and Awana, and Moms and Tots, and all of these aspects of the work. The youth fellowship have been able to start again by Zoom, but most of the meetings, really, we cannot hold at this time. So let's pray earnestly that soon, by some means, whether it's by Zoom or some other way, be able to start some of these things again. But let's commit it to the Lord and commit the work and the needs of the work, the needs of so many who have illnesses at this time, to the Lord in prayer as well. Continue to pray for our sister Isabel Gilmer, for our sister Mary, for others that need our prayers and our congregation connected to it. For our land and all its need, our government too, and all of the situations that are facing families, homeschooling children, those at university, online, not able to go into classes, and all sorts of things that are challenging people in these times. The isolation of many would normally be at church, cannot be out. Some haven't been out since the start of this pandemic, almost a year. And so we trust that you'll remember all of these matters. Bring them to the Lord in prayer. Let's seek the Lord's face. Our gracious God and Father, we come to thee tonight. We seek thy face, O God, for thy blessing upon the work of God here in Ballygowan. And Lord, throughout our churches, we pray the blessing of God to be upon the work of God in these days. Upon, Lord, thy people, we pray for the many challenges that they face individually and in their families, with children where, Lord, they're seeking to homeschool and do all of these things that are necessary for the education of their children. We pray again, Lord, that thou'll remember our Sunday school, that we'll be able to resume. Remember, O God, our children's meeting, and Lord, the work that has been done there to get the word out to those children. Bless that effort too. Remember Awana, and remember Youth Reach and Youth Fellowship and Moms and Tots and the work in the nursing homes and all of these efforts, Lord, that go forward normally week by week and month by month. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst bless thy word. And O God, that thou wilt in these days undertake for us and lead us and guide us and grant that we might know times of blessing from the presence of God. We pray that the work of God might increase, that souls might be saved. Bless the online services and every effort that is made to reach out to people. We pray that these may be used for thy glory, for thine honor, to the salvation of many souls, to the building up of thy people. Bless those who are ill. Remember Isabel. Remember Mary. Touch them and heal them and restore them. Remember others who are waiting for results or waiting for appointments, waiting in some cases for operations. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt give help. And Lord, remember the situation with our government too. Give them wisdom. Remember the rolling out of this vaccine or these vaccines, that thou wilt use this as a means of cutting down the infections and stopping the numbers going into hospital and the numbers of deaths. Oh, we pray for those who sorrow. Comfort them. Help them. Answer prayer, Lord. Bless the work across our denomination. Remember the special seasons of prayer by Zoom on Saturday, that many will join in to these seasons of prayer, and grant that there will be times of blessing even from thee. We commend all of this to the Lord and pray thy blessing upon us as we wait on in our homes in prayer tonight, as we continue to seek the Lord's face. We commend ourselves to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. We trust that you will pray now in your homes and seek the Lord's face for his work, his blessing upon it. Amen.